Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekend discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Well, my guest today is Ana Josefina, my niece. And I had mentioned when we met, we had a dialogue with my brother-in-law, Matoño, Manuel Mato Santos, that how proud he was of Ana Josefina. And she's here for a day and a half during the Christmas holidays. Ana, how are you?
I'm doing all right.
You came in as a surprise. Today is Monday. You came in Saturday night, wasn't
it? Saturday night,
at 9:30, surprised everybody with your appearance, and you're off today. So it's a quick, it's typical quick two-day trip, right?
It's budget time, so so it's a fast turnaround coming out.
Well, tell us, what is your position, and what are you doing right now, and what are the main challenges you face right now in your job?
So I'm director of the Department of Finance at in California, and right now we're working on the governor's budget, which is due to the legislature on January 10th. So we're kind of finalizing that, and when the governor came into office, there was a $26.6 billion budget deficit. He's cut, and there was an ongoing budget problem of around $20 billion. He's cut the problem by more than half on an ongoing manner, but continuing to deal with balancing the budget and getting the state onto an even fiscal footing going forward. So I help him with that.
Yeah, and right now, what are the biggest challenge that you have with cutting? You have to cut how much for this particular the budget that's coming up? How much do you have to cut?
The legislative analyst has come up with their definition of the problem. We're going to have ours on January 10th. Their definition of the problem is around $13 billion, and the governor is proposing...
This is billion.
Billion, yes. And the governor is proposing a combination... He's going to be proposing a combination of revenues and cuts to balance the rest of the budget. Just to give you a frame of reference, in 2007-08, the state budget was $102 billion. Now, for the 11-12 fiscal year, the budget was about $85 billion. So that's, on actual spending, not inflation adjusted. So the economic recession has had a huge impact on the revenues in the state, and there's lots of cuts. And even though the numbers for cutting now become smaller because the base is lower and the problem is smaller, in some ways it's harder to get to, because after years and years and years of making additional reductions, it just, the choices are that much harder, because what's left is what people didn't want to touch every other time.
You're no longer cutting fat, now you're getting, you're cutting muscle.
Exactly.
It's like my weight problem right now. It's getting tougher and tougher to go down. Yeah, I know what you mean. And in terms of the challenges with what's facing you now in the next week, what are the balancing that you have to undertake? And politically speaking, what is the challenge that you have?
Well, at this point, we are basically kind of have wrapped up with the bulk of the decisions that he had to make for purposes of balancing the budget, and we're working on actually writing the language, writing all the documents, writing the budget bill itself. The challenges, it's as the governor terms it, he's facing himself with having to allocate less. And allocating less is always difficult, because a lot of government programs are countercyclical. So the less the revenue usually translates with lower unemployment, with higher unemployment, and with a great number of needs. And that's when a lot of government programs, when people need them the most. So you're having to cut services at the same time that people are relying on the safety net and people are relying on all these services. So.
What's the cut that hurts you the most when you see you have to go with it?
I tend to kind of think more about my job is kind of the job of a staff person, so it's kind of giving him all the information about what are the pros and cons, and the consequences of going with some reductions versus others. You know, during the prior administration, the prior governor proposed to eliminate the state's welfare to work program, and to eliminate childcare program, and eliminate health and human services, health services for kids. And you know, those were in a function of the available resources, his decision to not propose additional revenues. But it's tough to advocate for those cuts, to, you know, advocate for ending the program that provides financial assistance for kids, loan from kids to go to college. So, it's tough choices all around.
And one of the things that you've accomplished, you've worked with two administrations, with two governors from Republican and now Democratic, which is a great accomplishment. I know few people who are able to do that. There was a guy who I admire very much, Jose Luis Ramirez, and Pritko, and he kept on. It didn't matter the administration, didn't matter who the administrator, because even in the same administration, you have very different administrators within a four-year period. You know, so at least was able to do it, and you're only the second person I know that has accomplished that, and in such an important state, in such an important position. So, you know, I'm really proud of you.
Thank
in that
you.
Respect. In terms of when you look, you know, from your perspective in California, at Puerto Rico, who's had this deficit, et cetera, and the very similar situations, although ours is only $3 billion, which is, when you look at that, you know, what thoughts do you have, you know, vis-a-vis Puerto Rico and how we're handling the situation? Do you have any?
I give a lot of credit to Governor Brown for the approach that he's taken. He's been very honest about what the choices are and decided to tackle the problem in an ongoing manner. I think at the end of the day, you know, his approach has been one of looking at, you know, first, what is, you know, being very clear about what's the level of government that our current level of revenues can support, and then having the people decide what they want, with a clear articulation of the choices. And I think that, I don't know, I just think it's a problem that has to be dealt with head on. I think you have to look at what are the overall economic effects of doing things, and you know, kind of trading off choices in terms of, you know, is it better to you know, like, for example, like, is it better to look at you know, downsizing programs, across the board reductions? What are the overall better approaches that put you in a better foundation to be able to grow? But I think that, you know, reliance on one-time things, it's generally not a good thing to do, because it doesn't change the overall picture.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just, you know, the conventional approaches of cutting and raising revenue are basically what they are. And it's looking at how do you deal with it in an honest manner and just deal with the problem, because the economic effects of the instability, the economic effects of the, you know, of the of shutdowns and of things being in limbo is just not a good thing for overall recovery, neither for the budget nor for the rest of the economy.
In you know, one of the things that I've always been very interested in education, and now that I have more time, getting more involved in public education, what has been the impact of the deficit on public education and spending in California on public education? What's happened there?
Big reductions in public education. I mean, in 2007-08, the budget in public for K through 14, so community colleges and schools, was $56.6 billion. The budget for this last year was $48 billion. So schools have lost about 16% of their funding. And, you know, they've been one of the sectors that's been heavily impacted.
Has the school population, public school population, gone down, or has it stayed stable?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of been relatively stable for a bit in some of the cycles. It goes up a little bit and a little bit down.
But relatively stable. So it's a 16%
yeah.
hit with the same kind of population, yes. School population.
Well, and the community colleges population has increased substantially with people during the down economy either losing their job and going to retrain or deciding that in order to advance they need to get another degree. So it's, I mean, so some populations have been going up. It's been relatively stable though for the K-12 side. So it's been a real reduction in spending, and that's, you know, in California already, you know, California does not have a particularly high per pupil spending amount. In under some indexes, we're actually, you know, second lowest in the nation. Okay. Under others, we're middle of the pack. So it's big reductions, and it's been big reductions in a lot of places. I mean, California's aid for seniors and people with disabilities who are low income is at the level that it was in 1982. Its assistance for welfare to work is in 1987. Everyone who receives health care from the state has to now pay, you know, will be required to pay a share of costs for their services. Entire programs have been eliminated. It's, you know, our spending levels as a share of the economy are where they were in 1972-73. So it's
tough.
It's a tough time, dude. It's a tough time.
As you have to negotiate with other, you know, political parties, and you stepped on both sides, so you know, jump from the other. But there's the other side. You're always facing the other side. You have to go with what the governor that you're in that particular moment serving. You have to, but then you have the people on the other side. What are the key you know, attributes or strategies in dealing with that other side that have been have worked well for you that you could share with us?
I think a lot of times it's a lot more, it's sometimes even more important to understand where the other side is coming from more than necessarily where you're coming from. And in some ways it's kind of, I think it's approaching it analytically, trying to understand what's people's problem, what is it that they're trying to accomplish, what is it they're trying to solve, and try to weed through all of the you know, all of the rhetoric and all of the different arguments to figure out what really is it that people are...
The substance of what's exactly really concerning and where they really want to be. And see if you can wind that into what you want to do so you're both achieving your goals, hopefully.
Or
at least losing at similar levels.
I think of it as, you know, what is the solution that allows you to get somewhere that is short of the religious conversion? You know, if you think about, you know, politics and ideology and perspectives and similar ways to religion, you know, a conversion is outside of the realm of what you want to go to, but it's really what is it within somebody's, you know, what are the philosophical constraints, the ideological constraints, and then how can you make everything else align? Okay. And in some ways it's kind of like, all of it is like algebra. How do you isolate the variable that you have the greatest time with to when you're far enough into the negotiations that you can actually deal with it and it doesn't block you?
Right. Because if you just sometimes, you know, certain areas you just have to agree to disagree, and certain principles you have to agree that there are principles you're not going to convince, as you're saying, and then move to where we share some common ground and see if if that helps us then achieve the both of our goals.
Exactly.
I was, you know, in terms of many, many articles have come out on Ana Josefina, both that's for the Stanford and in the Sacramento and all. But I thought one of the stories that I enjoyed very much was there was a person on the other side of the aisle who was had a big problem, as I recall, time-wise, to get some position paper together, and you apparently had the time, and you said, "Listen, I know your position. I'm completely on the other side, but I'll draft your position for you, and take a look at it." Yeah. Is that my recollection on that accurate, or
that's how it went. It was kind of funny. I was working for the California Senate, and I was working for the Democratic Party, and was, you know, they're in control of the House. And then the Senate Republicans had to put their budget bill to the floor. It was a prolonged budget fight that year, and that was part of the Senate President Pro Tem said, "You guys put your budget up." So my counterpart was gone. She was on some kind of leave, and her boss was covering her issues. And they had to, you know, they had to do the amendments, and I had to wait until they were done with their amendments in order to be able to write my analysis. And I was commuting from the Bay Area, and I wanted to get home, and I called, and I was like, what's the, you know, what's going on? What's your timing? And he said, well, I have to do these five different things before I get to do that. I said, why don't I just write it for you? tell me what you're doing, and I can just come up, I can just send you something, and then you can have the amendments. Tell me if they're okay. I can do my analysis. I'll write your analysis for you, and then you can edit it away. He's like, but you're a Democrat. I'm like, but I understand what you're, you tell me what your proposal is, and you just do it. I mean, it's not, you know, it's, I still understand where you're coming from, and I know how to do it. So he told me what his proposal was, and I drafted the amendments. I shot him his analysis. I did my analysis, and I went home. And so that was the first professional interaction that I had with the guy who ended up becoming my boss during the Schwarzenegger administration.
Okay.
So
that was good. Well, let's take a break, and I want to go in some where you think you're headed in the future. So we'll take a break.